Lord God, Heavenly Father, may this time be a time when we think about your word, think about how it guides our life. In your son's name we pray. Amen. This is a morning in which we remember our past, our present, and our future. And so this morning, I kind of wanted to lead with a small story. My first church was somewhere on this map. This is not anywhere in Minnesota. This is another snow state. This is called Michigan, all right? And so if you're looking for a map, it would be right here. All right, and so somewhere on this map is up almost to the far up right corner was my first congregation. Right near there, on this map, I heard about a church that had a plan. It had a plan for its future. As I was listening to this story, the story was about how this group of Lutherans, they kind of had this thought, okay, this is what our future looks like, is that they outright said, we don't want anybody else coming into our church. We don't want to grow. We want to hold to our Lutheran traditions, and then that's it. So what happened was that someone from the congregation who passed away left a large sum of money, and they were able to afford a retired pastor. And so basically what happened was, while I was still in Michigan, they got their wish. The last of the group of congregation members, they went to a nursing home, the church closed, and they sold their property. The question is, was that the mission of the church? That was the mission that they set out for themselves. And so the question is, what is the mission of the church? And so this morning, I kind of have an illustration. You know, coming to Wilmer, you know, one of the first things I just saw outright? Can you guys guess what I saw outright? So yeah, one of the first things I saw was a train. And just, don't you love that? The first little plow through the snow. And so this was the first idea I thought of when I thought of what Wilmer is you take a look at what it used to be. Some of you probably remember this, right? And you have fond memories, and you smile, and like, wow. Is that a theater? Still there? So why isn't a theater there? Can we say there was a shift? Can we say there was a shift? And nowadays there's a different shift in downtown. If you were, some of you still travel by train. My mom does. And one of the greatest memories I have so far with spending time with my mom was on Amtrak, going from Texas to Illinois. It was really fun. So some of us really like trains, all right? And so this is sometimes what you need to get by. And then, of course, you guys know that this is the train that you would see in downtown Wilmer, especially if you're running late. And you need to get somewhere, and they always seem to know when you're late, because they always get there and make you stop even more to think about how patient you need to be. So I mean, Wilmer to me is trying to get my son to school, and always when I have to be there at a certain time, you know, that would be right there. And interesting is there's a museum, right? There's a museum of what it looks like, of how people used to come to Wilmer. It's how people used to come to Wilmer. get off the train, and they'd sell here many years ago. But is that how you moved in Willamer anymore? And so all across the country, you can see pictures like this. Pictures of train depots that used to have people going in and out of them. They're boarded up. They have no use. There's a transition that has happened. And so this morning, kind of want to talk about transitions today and talk about this in terms of trains, because a lot of people like trains. And so you can kind of get this illustration of, you think about a train. Does the train ever go off its tracks? Yes. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Yeah, it's not good at all. All right? And so you think about the train and where it goes. It goes in a determined spot. You and I know that in Willamer, the train goes in particular directions, in particular spots. You're going to encounter them. And so if you're on the track and you think about where it's going and what it needs, number one, it we need to know where to go on the tracks. Number two, we need to know how are we going to get there? How are you going to get there? And so if you have a way to get there, what's the thing that sparks in my mind is the most important thing is that engine. Is that engine. Sometimes that engine is the one that sometimes you need one engine. Sometimes you need two engines. Sometimes you need three engines. Depends on how much the load is. Because you need to get somewhere, and you need to know how much power you need. And then behind the engines, there's all sorts of things. And so today, as we're getting ready to talk about what we're doing in this congregation, and I want to relate that to you in terms of this train idea. Do we have the direction that we need to take? It's on the wall. It's on the wall. The direction we need to take. We might not know exactly which track to take at certain points. And we might need to stop and reassess sometimes and which track to take. But at the same time, we also need to remember where we're going to go. Because we have one thing in mind is to get from point A to point B. And in between, it's those words right there. Go disciple all nations. Go disciple all nations. This is our mission statement. To make sure that we take Christ to the nations. And the nations are all around Willamer. Willamer is no longer this either you're Norwegian or Swedish. Or Germans, yes. I won't tell you what background that, yeah. All right, so you look at the United States nowadays, and never in the history of the United States have we had so many different ethnic groups in and around both the country and in Willamer. And so we have a mandate, a mission to go disciple all nations, and that means to make Christ known. And so this morning I wanted to take just a few seconds. I wanted you to consider. I want you to consider Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus goes and eats with a Pharisee, a guy, a religious person who thinks, all right, I got this all right. And he's sitting down with Jesus, and there's a woman that comes in. And this woman has a reputation. She has a reputation. Jesus knows who she is. The Pharisee knows who she is. And as soon as she gets in there, she falls at Jesus' feet. She takes her hair and she starts making sure that the sand is off Jesus' feet. And then she takes an oil, kind of like what we would do with soap, and she starts dousing Jesus' feet. She anoints Jesus' feet. She takes her hair and makes sure that Jesus' feet are clean. And then the Pharisee said, in his mind, he says, well, Jesus, if you knew who this lady was, you wouldn't even let her touch you. And so we get to the point where Jesus uses this parable. Let's read this together. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? And so Jesus asked him this question because he's making a comparison, and interesting enough, he has two people before him. And in the parable, he uses two different sorts of people. And so he's trying to say, okay, this woman, yeah, you can say that she owes God a lot because of what's in her past. And yet at the same time, he flips it. He flips it and says, when I came in, you did not offer me a greeting. You did not offer anything for my feet. And yet when I look at her, she has not stopped giving glory and praise to me. And yet you have stood there doing nothing. And so Jesus relates this on one account. When we look at who God is in our lives, there's two different ways to look at it. God owes us something. We owe God something. Do we see God as something of, God, you need to give us this amount because I'm following you. God, I don't deserve anything. And yet everything that I'm receiving from you, I'm grateful. And so he's making this two different distinctions. And at the very end, he tells this woman this in front of this man who thinks he's righteous. He's better than everybody else. He says, therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. And so he's making this comparison here. Mr. Pharisee, which one are you? To the readers who read this gospel reading, who are we? Are we someone who says, well, I've got everything I have. God has given me because I have been faithful. Or do we look at it as I'm just a worm? I'm just a worm who doesn't deserve anything from God. And yet, some way, somehow, this God has looked down at my condition and says, whatever my condition is, has said, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Because when you look at everything that is happening in the world today, it boils down to one thing, and that was sin. There's only one thing that is responsible for everything bad that's happening in the world, and that is sin. Whether or not we want to acknowledge it is one thing. At the same time, Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. So this morning, when we take a look at what we're about, there are a lot of train cars aren't up there, aren't they? There are a lot of different things that are used by train cars, a lot of things that engines pull. And so this morning I want to point something out to you. There's no one in here that is the same as everybody else. And yet everybody in here has a function. And every single person in here going through life has different needs. Just like this woman. And so sometimes we need to be able to say, hey, I need someone to help me out here because the load is too great for me. I need more of an engine. Sometimes parents, you see the bottom one? Sometimes life is like a zoo. You got kids going and coming, and it's like you have no clue where they are right now. And you kind of feel like roaring yourself. Sometimes you just need to pour into something because you just feel like a liquid, and sometimes you just need someone to help contain what's going on. And so as we're going together, when this says go disciple all nations, it means go together. And so when you think about a train, the next time you think about a train going through Wilmer and how you're stuck there and you think you have more important things to do, God is asking you, what is it in your life and where are you at that you would give glory to God? That you would say, God, you are giving me time to think about what is happening here and how each and every day you are giving me this peace of mind in order to praise who you are for what I have and who I am. And that leads to saying, maybe some way, somehow, I'm going to help somebody else. I'm going to pull them through a situation that I've been through. And I was a nervous wreck when I went through it, but this is something that I need to help somebody else out. It starts in these pews and goes out from here. Because when we travel outside these walls, we are traveling out into a place where God is not always wanted, God is not always talked about, and yet at the same time, when we're pulling along, when we're going to a final destination, and as that is, we're making sure that God is known. Because I'm just a person at Jesus' feet trying to wash his feet with my tears, because I understand who he is. And I'm bowing at his feet, not even worthy to look up at him. That I am doing all I can to wipe away with my tears, because my pain is so much, to wipe away everything that is happening. And with his words, he declares, your sins are all forgiven. And that means it doesn't matter what the world says of me, I am made new. And therefore, that when I leave that place, I leave with a new sense of God has made me something more than what I see in myself. And that is something to take to the rest of the world. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, on this day, on this weekend, help us to be more grateful, Lord, of what is happening. Lord God, so many times it is easy to say, you know what, I don't deserve this. And we're totally right. Lord God, you have placed us in this place for one specific reason, and that is to glorify you no matter what. Help us each and every day to remember, whether we're held up by things in life or whether, Lord, we're going through a storm and we need someone to plow through it. Lord God, Heavenly Father, your word gives us new life, that each and every day we are reminded that because we are children of God, we have the right to call upon you to give us the power that we need to both look at life as something worth living because we're living for you, and also, Lord, to look to others both for strength and, Lord, to help power through what is happening. In your son's name we pray. Amen.